And now, from the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and welcome to today's show. Spring is in the air. We are preparing for our first grape escape of the year to Vancouver Island with stops at Unsworth Vineyards, Oak Bay Beach Hotel, and Save on Foods in Sydney. So we can't wait to get there just a little later in the month. But today on the show, Warren Porter joins us. He's the president of Iron Gate Auctions, and we're going to talk about an all-California wine auction happening right now online. David Patterson, long time no speak, the GM and winemaker of Tantalus Vineyards. He's going to give us a rundown on his Riesling program. World famous, really. People buy that wine from all around the world. Michael Clark is in. He's at Clos du Soleil, and he's going on the road. We're going to talk about a couple of fantastic dinners he's got planned for Vancouver and Vancouver Island. But up next, Arno Thierry, the winemaker at Church & State Wines, joins us to talk about how he got into wine, how he got into the wine business in France, and we'll be comparing making wine in BC with where he grew up in Bordeaux and Champagne. This is BC Food & Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi, and we are set to go.
There's more to come. This is BC Food & Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a year-round mecca of adventure and wine. Get to know Penticton at the 6th Annual True Penticton Tourism Expo, April 2nd from 11 till 4 at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. Learn more about all the fantastic things to see, do, and explore, and the places to play and stay in Penticton. Sample great local wine and craft beer, and a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Admission is free to this family-friendly event. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
The Inn at Therapy Vineyards invites you to get away for a luxurious retreat experience. Modern rooms overlooking the vineyards and Lake Okanagan set the tone for a relaxing and refreshing stay on the Naramata Bench. Relax on your patio, soak in the hot tub, and enjoy a guided tasting experience in the Therapy Vineyards wine shop. Book your room or order Therapy Vineyards award-winning wines and have them delivered to your door at therapyvineyards.com. Because everyone needs a little therapy.
A ring-a-ding-ding. Time for happy hour at the Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. Featuring wine by the glass starting at just $5, along with the most fabulous gourmet bites the West Side has ever seen. Daily from 2 to 5 p.m. Plus, join us for Tommy and Tannen Tuesdays. Order a giant tomahawk ribeye and get your first bottle of Mount Boucherie Reserve Merlot for just $5. The Modest Butcher at Mount Boucherie Estate Winery. See you today.
And now, a BC Food and Wine Radio spotlight on British Columbia wineries, presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Hello, British Columbia, and welcome to the show. A shout out to all 20 stations on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network, including CFAX 1070 in Victoria and all the Bounce radio stations across the province. Our guest today is Arno Thierry. He's the winemaker at Church & State Wines in the South Okanagan and over on Vancouver Island. Arno, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you. And you?
I'm very well. I'm really excited to talk to you. I don't know if people know a lot about you. Of course, they know your wines, but you have a French accent, so let's start there. Well, you grew up in France. Tell us a little bit about your journey in wine.
Yes, I'm French. I'm born in Normandy, and for my father's job, we moved to Bordeaux. So I grew up in Réunion, in the middle of vineyard everywhere, in the house, next to the house or the school. So, but I was, my father wasn't working in one business. So, but just I think from a longer process in my mind, it came to me to work in the wine business. I always wanted to work in with nature and science, and I like to cook also for my friends and for my family. But at the beginning, I didn't want. Well, I didn't think of that, and I had an experience, a summer job in 1994, in Provence. Where I helped the winemaker, and I liked it. And I said, well, I turned my studies from biology and chemistry to winemaking and wine growing.
Wow.
And so I did that in Champagne, and I stayed there 3 years. And then my first job was as a winemaker was in Saint-Émilion. I spent there 3 years, but I was a little bit... I was young and wanted. Well, in Saint-Émilion, we only make reds, great reds, great reds, but reds. So I wanted to do some of wines to learn more, to discover more. So I moved to the Languedoc, and there I was in Montpellier, and I was working as a wine consultant, winemaking consultant, for 2 years in Languedoc and Côte du Rhône.
Yeah,
but my boss has some issues, so so we had to stop, and so I moved to Gaillac for 14 years there. So Gaillac is a small vineyard around Toulouse, so next to between Bordeaux and Languedoc, and there I've been working as a consultant in vineyard management and winemaking. It's a small region, but it's very old, and there they make and they are making a lot of different wines. That's the area where they make the most different wines. So from the sparkling white, red, rosé, and sweet wine. So that's where I learned a lot about winemaking.
Yeah.
And so in 2017, my wife received a job offer. And we were about 40s, and with small children, both working for several years in the same company. So we said, okay, let's try to do this experience. It will be good for us. It will be good for the children. So we came to Canada. So, it was Canada... was very special for us. Well, it is very special for us. Well, we like nature. We like the country. And well, when I was younger, I was playing hockey. So it's kind of special for me.
Oh, wow. So that's fantastic.
Well, it's a good opportunity. And so we did it. So we came in 2017.
Wow. You came... Like, it's a very impressive resume to have worked in all those places in France and to have all that experience. And now you're in British Columbia, which I think offers you the freedom to make the kind of wines you want. Do you feel that when you're at Church and State? I mean, I know you're dabbling in many different styles of wine, but you don't really feel constrained here maybe as much as you would in an appellation in France.
Yeah, true. Yeah, no, it was... in France, well, everything is very... well, the wine is made for a long time, so
so everything's organized.
History, the weight of history on it.
Yeah.
So here you have to build everything, almost. So so it's very interesting and very challenging, and it's moving quick, and there is a great potential in British Columbia in the Okanagan.
Our guest is Arno Thierry. He's the winemaker at Church and State Wines, and he's making wine on in the South Okanagan and also over in Victoria. Tell us about your what you're on to now. I know you've got a sparkling wine program. How would you explain what's happening at Church and State for people who maybe don't know what you're producing there?
Yes. Well, at Church and State, we have two facilities for winemaking. So one in the Okanagan, in Oliver, in the South Okanagan. Mm-hmm. Where we make still wines, red and white. and rosé a little bit. And in Victoria, in Vancouver Island, we have 10 acres there. We've also a small cellar. And there in 2018, I decided to turn it on sparkling program.
Yep.
Because I think there's a good potential on the sparkling. And so there we are making some Pinot Gris on sparkling, méthode traditionnelle, and Pinot Noir rosé, méthode traditionnelle also.
I'm wondering, what is the number one thing for you in sparkling wine that BC can offer? What is it that we have that makes sparkling wine attractive here?
The wine base, so the maturity of the grapes, is very important, and to keep high acidity. So that's what we have in Vancouver Island. We have low alcohol, high acidity, very thin skin, so very thin wine base. Very attractive, and so for me that's the reason of the big potential on the sparkling on the Victoria Island.
Yeah. Great.
On the Vancouver Island, sorry.
I don't want to run out of time, so let's talk a little bit about new releases now at Church and State. What can people expect this spring from Church and State? What wines can we see coming out that are new or new releases?
So in the spring we will have the Pinot Gris 2020, the Sauvignon 2019, Sauvignon Blanc, so from the Okanagan, and on red we are starting the 2019 on Petit Verdot and soon Malbec.
Okay.
And for the Vancouver Island we'll start the Gris de Noir 2020. So Gris de Noir is Pinot Noir Rosé.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of selection there. How, if I was to ask you if you were describing British Columbia wine to somebody in France, how would you talk about the Okanagan or South Okanagan? What would you tell them about our region in terms of the style of the wines?
Well, first, it's hard, I think, to say on one characteristic. Because it's a long valley, so I will speak only for the south, because I think from the north the characteristic is different. But on south, well, I think we have a lot of minerality because of the minerals we have in the soil, and ripe with a good balance with acidity. So very interesting. I'm very impressive of the wines I'm working with. In the south of Okanagan, with the Rhone Valley whites, like Marsanne-Roussanne. I think we do, we make some really interesting wines. The Chardonnay also. Yeah. And for the reds, I will say Cabernet Franc is very interesting, and Petit Verdot also, and Syrah, of course.
Are you still?
What I will say.
One of my favorite wines is the Tre Bella. Are you still producing that wine?
Yes. Yes, we stopped it on 2018, but because we made Roussanne, Marsanne, and Viognier, which I think is interesting to be tasted independently.
Yeah.
But as French, I like to blend. Because I think all the varietals bring something, and there's a kind of synergy together.
Yeah.
So, since 2019, we are back to Tre Bella. So we do Roussanne Marsanne still on one side, and we do the blend so people can taste the difference.
Yeah, I like that. We're almost out of time. Arno, what about visiting this year? People that are heading out to Church and State, can they drop by? Do they need a reservation? How does it work at the winery?
It's better to have a reservation because, when it's very crowded, it's hard to get to have time to receive our customers, our guests.
Yeah.
So it's better to have a reservation so the people at the tasting room, they have more time to spend with the people, so it's really better. We started with the COVID-19, which was something we had to, and we think it's a good idea to keep going on this way. So, right. so yes, it's really needed to have a reservation because on summer it can be very crowded at testing room. So, sure. When you have a reservation, you'll be received and people would take time to explain you the wines and everything.
Yeah, churchandstatewines.com, folks, if you want to visit, get yourself a reservation. And, of course, you can find the wines across British Columbia in private wine shops, also in Save-On Foods, and, of course, direct from the winery. Arno, thanks so much for joining us today. Real pleasure to talk to you. Hope to be able to meet with you this year at the winery.
Yes, it was a pleasure for me, and thank you for the interview, and you're always welcome to visit us.
Thank you. That was Arno Thierry. He's the winemaker at Church & State Wines. There's plenty more to come. Up next, we speak with Warren Porter, president of Iron Gate Auctions, about his latest auction. It's All California. You can listen to the show live weekly in 20 cities across BC or on demand on all the major podcast platforms. This is BC Food & Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Join us next time for another Spotlight on British Columbia Wineries presented by Valley First Wealth Management, working with you to give you confidence in your financial future. Valley First Wealth Management is a division of FW Wealth Management Limited.
Hi, this is Anthony Gismondi with 2 minutes on improving the value of your wine. It's a concept I talk a lot about, and I've got a great passion for it. So let's start with the Santa Julia Reserva Malbec. This is a simple red wine from Argentina. You can find that at Gismondi Online, along with many other wines. So you take a wine like that, you take that wine home. Now, how can you improve the value? Well, the first thing I would do is I would stand the wine up for as much time as you had before dinner, whether it's a day or an hour, anything is good, but the longer the better. Usually about 12 hours would be the best. Then you take the cork out of the wine. What you want to do is decant this wine and get some air on it. All wine is affected by oxygen, and generally in a young wine, the effect is a good thing for a short period of time. It allows the wine to open up and to breathe and to really show you perhaps what it will be down the road, although you're hoping for the next few minutes for dinner. The other thing that's great about decanting is by not showing your guests the bottle, you're also likely to have way more fun because they're going to discover this wine without any predetermined thoughts about what it is that they're drinking. So you start like that, you get that wine in the glass, and the other thing is to have a decent glass. And what you'd want is a glass that basically is wider in the middle and slightly smaller at the top so it captures the aroma and people can swirl the wine. Again, you're swirling the wine to put more oxygen in it to let it breathe. I often say, this is like, imagine if you were stuffed in a bottle for 2 or 3 years and you just climbed out of that bottle. You need to stretch out a bit to really, get back into the shape that you should be in. That's how you can improve the value of the wine. Of course, people think it's something special when it's in the decanter. So you've already added, let's say you've added 5 for the decanter, 5 for hiding it, 5 for guessing it. So all of a sudden your $17 wine is now up to about $29 and everybody's having fun. So that's a very simple way to enhance the value of your wine and it'll cost you nothing. From GismondiOnWine.com, I'm Anthony Gismondi.
Penticton, a year-round mecca of adventure and wine. Get to know Penticton at the 6th Annual True Penticton Tourism Expo, April 2nd from 11 till 4 at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. Learn more about all the fantastic things to see, do, and explore, and the places to play and stay in Penticton. Sample great local wine and craft beer, and a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Admission is free to this family-friendly event. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate high-altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
From our Save-On Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia, and a shout-out to our Vancouver base at BNN Bloomberg 1410 and the 19 cities across the province on the BC Food and Wine Radio Network. Our guest is Warren Porter. He's the president of Iron Gate Auctions. Yes, I use that word auction because you can buy and sell wines in Canada by auction now, and it's easy to do, and our next guest will tell you all about it. Warren, how are you today?
I'm terrific, Anthony. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm always delighted to talk to you. I'm so amazed at how successful your auction business has become. And now you've just opened an auction which is focusing only on California wines. Let's start with that because that's pretty unusual.
Yeah, so it's California and Oregon wines, actually. It's just U.S. icons. So what we have seen in our past auctions is a real desire for Bordeaux and U.S. wines in particular. So when we had an abundance of U.S. wines come in, we began to curate them from a number of different collectors and just put together our first themed auction of some of the greatest U.S. wines with back vintage. And it's a really tremendous offering. It's smaller than our regular auctions, which usually hover around a million. So this one is around 300,000-400,000, something like that. But it's really an amazing offering.
Yeah, I mean, for people who know the U.S. market, the problem in the U.S. has always been to get on a list and get these wines. So it's very hard to find the rare wines unless you're on the list. But now some of them are up for sale, which brings me to my next question. How do you get these wines? How is it that they're for sale or for auction now? And what are some of the reasons people are giving you their wines to sell?
Sure. So a lot of times people just have an abundance of wine, and you're absolutely right that there are many of these wines that you have to be on a list to get. So I'll use William Selyem as an example. Some of the most incredible, generally speaking, Pinot Noirs and Chardonnays. They are very, very small allocations. We have 20 lots of these wines that are available, and that's one of the ones that you have to be on a list to get. And the amount you are allowed to buy is depending on your past purchase history. So not something you can walk into a store to find. So we're really excited to have these. Now, why do we have them? There are collectors who may have acquired too much, and collectors have a tendency to collect. Some people have decided to move. And, you know, one of the reasons, Anthony, that a lot of wine comes up for us is people are looking to move to the United States or move to another country. Wine is expensive and difficult to move, and they found that it's just better selling them in Canada. That's very frequent. And so a lot of these wines that we bring up for auction are from that. So, but there's an abundance of wine that's coming in.
I've noticed a distinct drop in phone calls that I get now from people that are getting divorced or have estates to clear out. They must be talking to you about their wines because I no longer have to deal with those issues.
Well, I'm hoping to take a little bit of that work off of your hands. But, yeah, there's been a great interest, certainly from Western Canada, more than there was before, for sure. And they come as a result of a number of different things. I was mentioning, you know, people who have an abundance of wine. But there's also, you know, it's typically a catalyst in your life, Anthony, that brings something to fold. So it might be a divorce. It might be an estate. It might be, you know, your doctor has said, hey, you know, you've had a pretty good life with your wine. I need you to cut back a lot. And so things like that, they're typically a catalyst, and that's when they find us. And they find us. You know, there's not a lot of outreach that we do, so they have a tendency to find us. And then we vet the call. We vet the collection to make sure that everything is okay, that it's been stored properly and comes from the right place, and we're confident putting it up for sale.
Yeah. Okay, I know that you've got a number of auctions coming up, including some charity ones. I want to talk about that, but I want to ask you a specific question. What is the likelihood that you would do a Canadian auction like BC, Ontario, Nova Scotia wines perhaps in the future?
Probably pretty small because there's not very much of that we see on the market, like almost never. So we'll get the odd Checkmate and the odd, you know, a Soyuz La Rose and ones like that and some Taz, you know, but it's very, very rare. So certainly not enough that could formulate an entire auction.
Right. I have been talking to some wineries, though, and many of them have some wines that they don't even really know about you. They're so busy trying to, you know, run their business. But I think it'd be interesting to get some old wines from, for instance, a place like Tantalus or from Bachelder or whatever. Maybe a small part or a sub-auction of one could be interesting for Canadian collectors.
Well, you know, I would agree with that. But generally speaking, we're here to assist in a sale of wines from private individuals who don't have other places to sell them. And so I wouldn't want to be perceived as kind of, you know, trying to take the place of the other distribution channels where the wineries typically go through the liquor boards and such. We're the place that, you know, where you can't find wines from other places.
Yeah. Okay, Warren, you're very diplomatic. Tell us a little bit about some of the upcoming auctions, and you've got some charity auctions too that have been a big success.
Yeah, so we've got a big auction that's coming up, over $1 million auction coming up in April. That's, you know, from wines from all over the world. That's our next large one after we close the U.S. only auction. We've got benefit auctions coming up to raise money for cystic fibrosis, all in May. Cystic fibrosis for the Canadian Opera Company, come from the Toronto Symphony. So those are coming up. We have another, probably our largest auction ever, that's coming up in June. And one of the things that we've started to implement with this auction is we've been applying QR codes onto the back of every bottle, because one of the things we've discovered, Anthony, that, you know, people might pull out a bottle from their cellar many months later and try to remember what they paid for it or what the backstory is or tasting notes or any of that, which is all information that we give you on the bidding page. So now what we're doing with every bottle is we are applying a QR code that then links you back to the original bidding page. So you've always got that information handy.
Wow. Our guest is Warren Porter. He's the president of Iron Gate Auctions. Warren, are all the big U.S. and U.K. auction houses looking at what you're doing now? Because your detail for the provenance of wines, and as you were just saying, you know, where they come from, I just love what you're doing there. The photos, everything is so professional and actually so useful for buyers.
Thanks. I appreciate that. And, you know, I spend a lot of time scouring through auction houses around the world, seeing the things that they like. The things that I like that they do, and trying to go the opposite way with the things that they don't do. And provenance information I find was not ubiquitous enough, so I wanted to make sure we put those in. I wanted to make sure we invest really heavy in photography so that people can go in and zoom in and see exactly what they're buying. So I don't know. I mean, look, these guys are, you know, a lot of these auction houses are 100, 150 years old and fairly set in their ways. We're greenfield, so I'm just looking at what I think works well and is going to be beneficial to both the buyer and the seller.
Yeah, I love it. Irongate.wine/auctions. You should go to that website, folks. One of the things I love about it is you've got some terrific YouTube videos on how to bid on wine. So, you know, how to search, how to bid, how overtime bidding works. Everything that you need is on that site, and they make it very simple for you to get involved in these auctions, which is just great. But I want to talk a little bit about a brief overview on how people sign up, or how do they get your wine? How does that process work? They call you, and then what? You check them out? Walk us through that very quickly.
Yeah, it's really simple, Anthony. You can go to irongateauctions.com, or as you said, irongate.wine/auctions. It'll all lead you to the same place. You register for each auction. You put in your basic information, shipping information, and then you'll put in your credit card information so that we'll check the card to make sure that it's valid by putting, I think, a $1 charge on it, and that will now stay on your account. The sign-up process takes less than 5 minutes. It's really, really easy to do, and the list of registered bidders just keeps growing and growing. And then once you're on that list, then you're going to get notifications of everything that's coming out. So when we have these specialty auctions like this American one or the mixed ones that we have coming up, you'll find out about them. The other thing you can do, Anthony, is when you're a registered bidder, you can go in and follow a particular winery that you might like. So Domaine Serene, for example, if you follow them, they're now in your account. And every subsequent auction, it's going to show you all the Domaine Serene that we've got for that one, for example. And so, you know, we're trying to use the technology to make it really, really easy. I test it on people that might not be as computer savvy to make sure that they can maneuver their way around easily, and you know we'll keep making, you know, incremental gains and incremental improvements to try to make it just as simple as possible. But it's really, really easy. It really is.
I think you're having fun, Warren, more than anything. It's just so interesting, this whole business of auctioning wine, and it's great for people who want to get their wines auctioned off. So let's say I have a seller for 500 wines, then I need to talk to you if I want to get it in the auction.
So So typically what people will do is they'll send us a list if they have one, photographs if they don't, of what they're looking to auction. I need to understand the backstory as well. I want to find out how you've collected the wine. I want to find out how you've stored it. I want to see if I'm not physically able to be there. I want to see photographs of your cooling systems. I need to see all those kind of things. Yeah. And so once that comes in, then we'll provide you with some estimates on them and then begin to curate and aggregate everything together to you know, it's a bit of an art and a science to creating an auction. And we've got some amazing people who help do that. And, you know, you're right. They are having fun. You know, we've got a great staff across the country that are all doing things that are relatively new and are being very well received by our customers and our consigners. So, you know, when things go well like that, yeah, people have a tendency to have a lot of fun. And we're, you know, as I said, I tell people just try to find some little thing you can do a little bit better for every auction. And, you know, eventually we'll get there. I don't know how long that'll take, but we're, you know, we're doing our best and we seem to have a happy base of buyers and sellers. So we'll keep trying. Yeah.
Warren, real pleasure to talk to you today. So much going on at Iron Gate Auctions, folks. If you're interested in wine buying or selling, you have to check out that website and get in touch with Warren and become a bidder and maybe perhaps a winner at the next auction. The current one is All American Wine. That's a great place to start. Warren, thanks so much.
Perfect. It's at irongateauctions.com. Thanks, Anthony, and we'll see you in we'll see you at the wine festival.
All right. That was Warren Porter. He's the president of Iron Gate Auctions. Still to come, David Patterson, GM and winemaker, Tanlis Vineyards. This is BC Food and Wine Radio. I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's more to come. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.
Argentina, land of passion, craft, and wine. It's there, in the foothills of the mighty Andes, that Doña Paula Estates creates their distinctive Malbec. Intense violet in color with aromas of black fruits, violets, and spices. Sophisticated, ultra-premium, globally awarded. Doña Paula Estate High Altitude Malbec embodies everything that is Argentina. Doña Paula, a matter of altitude. Find out more at DoñaPaula.com.
Welcome to The Loops. When you love something, you want to do it again and again. Here in Kamloops, you can do laps on your mountain bike or play another round of golf. And when you're ready, welcoming eateries will gladly bring out budget-friendly second helpings or refills. Later on, you can raise the roof for a melodic encore before tucking into a comfy bed, then waking up to discover something new to do all over again. That's what we mean by Welcome to The Loops. Go to TourismKamloops.com to plan your next road trip to The Loops.
Take your wine appreciation to the next level and become a rebel. Welcome to the Rebel Club at Liber Farm and Winery. As a Rebel member, you'll enjoy a regular shipment of exemplary Liber wines for your cellar, along with complimentary tastings and VIP treatment at the winery and more. And with the ease and convenience of online ordering, your wine will be shipped straight to your door. Discover more at LiberFarm.com. Simply great wines.
As someone who is starting or adding to their wine or spirits collection, you recognize your choice of a reputable supplier is paramount. As the only auction in Canada dedicated to fine wines and spirits, Iron Gate Auctions offers buyers a safe, inexpensive way to initiate or enhance their collections. They're experts in the field, and all of their offerings are meticulously sourced from private sellers across Canada. To find out more, visit irongateauctions.com.
Clos du Soleil makes wines that speak of the Similkameen soil where their grapes are grown and the souls of the people who call this valley their home. Winemaker Michael Clark and his team specialize in wines that blend Bordeaux grape varieties with their unique mountainous terroir. The result is wines that are elegant, ageable, and authentic. Clos du Soleil, wild places, soulful wines. Available at closdusoleil.ca and fine restaurants and wine stores near you.
From the Save on Foods Wines of British Columbia Studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Joining us now is David Patterson. He's the GM and winemaker at Tantalus Vineyards, one of the jewels of the North Okanagan. On almost a spring day. David, how are you?
Oh, I'm very good. Thanks, Anthony. How's it going?
Really well. I'm happy to catch up with you. I managed to see you last week, which brings me right away to my first question. We tasted a bunch of old tanless wines last week, and I was knocked out by the aging ability of them. So let's just start there. What's going on in your vineyard? Why are these wines aging so well?
Well, I think, there's a number of factors. Firstly, we have this lovely old vineyard that produces real balance in the juice to make the wine. So a balance of acidity and dry extract that allows the wines to age really well, as long as they're put to bottle correctly with the right amount of sulfur and the right amount of balance. Then because of that natural acidity, we seem to achieve some really ageable wines that are showing grace as they get older.
Mm-hmm. You have a lot of old vines up there. Is that part of the secret too, or not?
I think so. I mean, as the vines get older, their roots get deeper. They're pulling energy from different places. And I also think that some of the factor is that old vines thing, but also we have a really sort of rolling topography here, and right throughout the Okanagan this exists, where you've got lots of different little blocks at different aspects, different slopes, and so we get complexity through non-uniformity. It's not one big sort of flat block or one slope. There's lots of different nuances within the vineyard, which means that the flavors that we get from the grapes and then ultimately into the wine are quite complex and makes the wines ageable as well.
Well, and maybe for people who don't know, so let's say you have a pile of blocks, 30, 40, 50 blocks. You have to keep those separate if you want to blend them and get this complexity. Is that the way it's done?
Correct. I mean, we're often sort of have an ultimate end point for each block, which wine that block is going to go into.
Right.
By keeping them separate, we can also pick them separately, which I think is the most important thing. One block of Riesling, let's say, might be ready 2 or 3 weeks before another block, just because of the amount of sunshine it's received, its slope, its aspect. And
sure.
And that can change each vintage as well. So really walking the vineyard, tasting the grapes, and making that final picking decision is really key to bringing the best out of each block and then blending later to gain that complexity in the wine.
Yeah. Our guest is David Patterson. He's the GM and winemaker at Tanless Vineyards. David, we've been hearing a lot about the big cold weather event in the Okanagan. Spring is coming. What is your assessment of what's going on in the vineyards after some of these devastating cold nights?
Well, I mean, it really does remain to be seen at bud break. We are always eternal optimists as farmers here that we are going to see a better result than maybe some of our bud dissections and science tells us. We certainly have seen that in the last few vintages where we thought we were more damaged than we ended up being. But the reality is that we're definitely damaged. I think the entire Okanagan is going to see a drop in the amount of crop that comes off this year based on that winter damage. But we are hopeful that the snow that was around when we got that cold snap, both around the root structures and the graft union at the bottom of the plant, and also the blobs of snow on the top or the heads of each vine, hopefully have insulated some of those buds enough that we still see growth and life. But I think some of the buds that are out on the further extremities of the vines are probably toast. And we've been pruning more to bring the life back to the head of the vine right now because that's where things were insulated. But it's we're beholden to Mother Nature, and that's the nature of what we do.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Mm-hmm. You came out of New Zealand. I don't know how much you knew about Riesling when you got here. You know a hell of a lot more today. Can you tell us a bit about the Riesling program, the wines that you're producing, and what the differences are at Tanless for people who are buying these wines?
Yeah, for sure. So I came out of New Zealand and Australia, and I'd worked with a decent amount of Riesling before coming up here. But when I first got to the Tantalus property and started seeing the chemistry of the Riesling here, it was something I'd never seen before. They're such extremely high acid, yet the juice seemed balanced. they were, you know, chemically it was telling me it was out of balance and I couldn't pick, but taste wise it tasted fantastic. So I've had to learn to throw out that chemistry book a little bit and really go with the artisanal side of winemaking and gut instinct and flavor and using my nose. So now we make wine on a drier style here, or on the drier side of style of Riesling,
right.
For our main SKUs. So our main flagship Riesling, which sees the largest distribution, is balanced just off dry. So there's enough sugar to balance the acidity, but it's not the perception of the wine is not sweet. Our Old Vines Riesling single bottling off a single block of the 1978 plantings is always Gross Gewächs in style, which is sort of the first growth of Germany, always under 9 grams residual sugar, so very, very dry for Riesling. And we don't release that for 2 years. We always bottle age that at the winery for 2 years before we release it, just to let the screamingly high acidity calm down and let the wine become itself.
Yep.
And then we make several other iterations depending on the vintage of Riesling. So in certain years where I think the quality is there or the grapes suit it, we'll make it more of an Auschlaes sweeter style around the 60 gram per liter mark. Mm-hmm. When we get it, we will make ice wine. And I have been known to make a sparkling Riesling in the past as well. In a champagne method style, so a secondary fermentation in bottle, making sparkling wine out of Riesling, again based on the German sort of sect techniques.
Yeah,
and we also every year we make a fun wine called Riesling Lab, which is basically all the really hard pressing juice. So once we've pressed into the grape and we're adding pressure in the press, we get this juice out at the end that's a little browner. It has more phenolics and less acidity. And I usually give that to all my interns, and we experiment on it and play with all sorts of different winemaking techniques to make this slightly off-dry but far less acidic version of Riesling. So that's our plaything every year, and it's just available online and at our tasting room.
Fantastic. That's a great summary. David Patterson, GM and winemaker at Tanlis. David, I learned something this week just going through your site to look at some prices. Further Afield Series. What is that? You have a Syrah. What's going on with that?
So, I mean, this is a product of myself and Eric Savix, the owner of Tanlis, discussing, you know, what other wines we like out of the Okanagan. We grow Riesling, Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and a tiny little bit of Pinot Meunier here. And our site is not really conducive to bigger red wines. We feel the terroir down in the Similkameen Valley and also, you know, around Osoyoos and Oliver is more conducive to these bigger reds. And we have a real soft spot for Syrah, both of us. So I've been waiting for the right vineyard to come available for Syrah for some time. And when I got offered some Blind Creek Syrah, which is a really, really lovely vineyard in the Similkameen, I decided to jump on it and now have the highest elevation of the young plantings and the middle of the older plantings slated for me, whatever comes off those pieces of land I get each year. So the supply will fluctuate depending on the season. It's not a tonnage deal. It's a piece of land deal. And, we're really excited to work with some of the better Syrah vineyards in the Okanagan.
Wow.
Well, that's actually in the Similkameen Valley.
Yeah. Boy, I don't know where all the time goes here. I just want to get to the wine tasting experiences now before we run out of time. And are you serving food now? What's going on with food at Tanlis as well?
So we've looked at it. We've chosen not to go down the restaurant or food route at the moment. We're in the business of a curated 45-minute sit-down tasting experience, so more of a restaurant feel as far as tasting the wines. You get time with the wines, lots of time to talk to my staff and have the wines explained and the story explained. But we don't want to also try and get into, you know, an hour and a half, 2 hour kind of experiences with food, because we just don't have the space. So instead what we do is we bring in guest chefs, really good chefs from around the country. And we do dinner series and brunch series. So we have a commercial kitchen out the back of our tasting room, and we're able to do these events outside the normal tasting hours. But certainly during the year, as the tasting room is open, we want to see as many people as possible, give them that nice experience. But we don't want to get into the business of being a restaurant.
Right on. David, fantastic to talk to you today. Great information for our listeners. Always a pleasure, and hope to see you soon up at Tantalus.
Absolutely. Thanks for the chat.
Thank you. That was David Patterson. He's the GM and winemaker at Tantalus Vineyards. Up next, Michael Clark from the Similkameen Valley talks to us about Clos du Soleil. This is BC Food and Wine Radio, and I'm Anthony Gismondi.
There's lots more still ahead. This is the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
Uncork the latest of our province's wine this month at Save On Foods, home to more than 1,300 BC VQA wines. With Canada's largest selection growing every day, you'll find new wines from new wineries arriving all the time. Spring is the time of new beginnings, so celebrate with the latest in high-quality vintages from the best growers and winemakers BC has to offer. Wines of British Columbia at Save On Foods, with 22 wine stores across BC. Find yours at saveonfoods.com.
Discover the good life right in your own backyard. Destination? The Watermark Beach Resort in beautiful Osoyoos. Featuring spectacular views of Osoyoos Lake, walking distance to shops, plus dining at the Watermark's very own 15-Park Bistro. And make sure to book your spring and summer travel now to avoid disappointment at the South Okanagan Resort that defines easy living. Visit watermarkbeachresort.com for full details, and keep up to date on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Penticton, a year-round mecca of adventure and wine. Get to know Penticton at the 6th Annual True Penticton Tourism Expo, April 2nd from 11 till 4 at the Penticton Trade and Convention Center. Learn more about all the fantastic things to see, do, and explore, and the places to play and stay in Penticton. Sample great local wine and craft beer, and a chance to win some fantastic prizes. Admission is free to this family-friendly event. Go to visitpenticton.com for more upcoming festivals and events in Penticton.
It's time to think turkey. Your BC turkey farmers work hard all year to bring high-quality products to your table. Whether it's a weeknight dinner or special occasion, turkey is always a delicious source of lean protein, and you can't forget the leftovers. With a great meat-to-bone ratio, you get a great value and multiple meals. So the next time you're wondering what to serve, think turkey. Find recipes, info, and more at bc.canadianturkey.ca.
Hello, I'm Anthony Gismondi, and after 4 decades in the wine business, I know that the wine you like is always the best one for you. Anyone who tells you differently is simply wrong. The trick is how to get there. My advice? Try as many different wines as possible to discover your favorites. We evaluate about 3,000 wines a year at GismondiOnWine.com to help you sort through the clutter in the market, and we make it easy to search through our results. After all, life is way too short to drink bad wine. So why not give us a go at GismondiOnWine.com?
From our Save On Foods Wines of British Columbia studios, it's BC Food and Wine Radio. Now, here's Anthony Gismondi.
Hello, British Columbia. Welcome back to the show. Our next guest takes us to the Similkameen Valley. Michael Clark, of course, the winemaker and GM over at Clos du Soleil. Michael, how are you today?
I'm very good. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, I'm afraid to ask, is the snow melting or what's happening in the Similkameen?
Bit by bit. It is getting warmer with every day. It feels like it's been a long, cold winter, but we're getting to the end now, I'm happy to say.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you were bottling, because so many wineries seem to be sold out. You've got some new wine, so I want to get right into what's going to be available coming up, I believe, on April 1st. So why don't we start with the whites?
Yes. I'm really excited about these wines. So we have two whites that are going to be coming out at the end of the month, both from the 2022 vintage, which was a fantastic vintage at Clos du Soleil. We'll have our Fumé Blanc 22, which is a blend of Sauvignon Blanc and Semillon, and we'll also have a Pinot Gris.
All right. And very quickly, what are the differences? So if someone's buying Fumé Blanc versus Pinot Gris, how would you describe that to someone looking at these wines?
Yeah, so The Fumé Blanc at Clos du Soleil exhibits a lot of characteristics you would associate with the Sauvignon Blanc. The fruits that you'd think of for flavors and aromas would be things like grapefruit, passion fruit, guava, things like that. And then there's also some Semillon blended in, which gives it this roundness and sort of what we'd call fatness. If you compare that with Pinot Gris, our Pinot Gris tends to be a very dry, mineral-driven wine. It has this fine textural component as well, and the flavors would be more like apple and pear and orchard fruit like that.
All right. And you've got a rosé. Rosé is still very popular. What is the base grapes varieties for your rosé, or is it more than one?
Malbec. And so that's wine, a grape that you don't see used as much for rosé in British Columbia. We're really happy with the 22 vintage, and the only bad news I have about our rosé is we don't have much of it. So it's going to go fast.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, Signature is a big wine for you, the 2020 Signature. So now we go back two vintages, presumably for the aging. Tell us a little bit, remind us of 2020 and what you're doing with the grape or with the wine you're calling Signature.
Yeah, so 2020 was a fantastic vintage in British Columbia. You'll hear that from pretty much every winery in the province. And it definitely was at Clos du Soleil. It is a blend of the five varieties typically associated with Bordeaux. So I'm speaking of Merlot, Cabernet Sauvignon, Cabernet Franc, Malbec, and Petit Verdot. Mm-hmm. We ferment them using wild yeast that is naturally there on the grapes without adding anything at all. We ferment them in concrete tanks, and then we age it for about a year and a half in 100% French oak barrels. And it's our flagship red wine at Clos du Soleil.
Yeah, and if we buy the Signature or purchase it, then, of course, we can cellar that wine because it's going to age for quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And we really pride ourselves on that at Clos du Soleil, that really all of our wines are ageable, but Signature would be a perfect example of that. For customers who like to drink their wines right away, when we release our wines, they can certainly be enjoyable. But for collectors, this is a wine that can easily last a decade or more.
Yeah, well, we've been tasting Celestial at Gismondi on Wine, so that's a wine that people can approach a little earlier that's in your, available from Clos du Soleil as well. So that would be the wine that you could have now while you're waiting for Signature if you had to.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that's a nice lineup of spring releases. You're busy, I'm sure. What about the tasting room? How will it work this year? Is it open? Is it by appointment? What are some of the things people should know about visiting Clos du Soleil?
Yeah, we love for people to come and visit us because it's the way to really get to know us and our wines and our land the best. So we're open by appointment throughout the entire year. People can phone or book online. However, we're going to a fully staffed tasting room as of April 7th. And so that means that even if you don't have a reservation, which we still recommend, but even if you don't, you can just drop in from that day onwards and we will have people there.
Oh, that's kind of nice. Of course, Michael Clark's winemaker, Clos du Soleil. Michael, I always wonder, is there something that people could do or should do to prepare for like a comprehensive tasting when they're going to a winery? What might you recommend to them?
Well, our staff, we spend a lot of time training our staff so that they really understand not just Clos du Soleil, but the Small Camin Valley. So for people who come to visit us, we will give you an introduction to what the whole valley has to offer and what makes us unique as a wine-growing region. That being said, people really get the most out of tastings when they're curious and when they want to explore that area. So not just visiting us, but visiting a few other neighboring wineries in the area, stopping by to see what the local food is like. All of that really heightens the experience of a wine tasting, I think.
Yeah, maybe rent a bike and drive around, cycle around the valley, and you really get a feel for the slope and the temperature, the wind, all of these things that really affect the way the wines are growing.
Yeah, for sure. And in fact, spring is the ideal time to do that. Just the temperatures can be so beautiful for a nice bike ride.
Yeah. Our guest is Michael Clark. He's the winemaker at Clos du Soleil. Michael, we at BC Food and Wine Radio are heading out to our first grape escape in a couple of weeks on Vancouver Island, and I noticed that you have a couple of events, one on Vancouver Island, one in Vancouver. What can you tell us about these upcoming events?
Yeah, well, in a sense, it's following on from everything you and I have been talking about, in that our wines really show best and are understood best within the context of food, especially West Coast cuisine. And mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about these two events. We have one at the Qualicum Beach Cafe on the evening of March 29th, a six-course meal all paired with Clos du Soleil wines, and I will be there personally to talk about the wines. And then we're keeping me busy, because the day after, I have another event on the 30th at the Water Street Cafe in Vancouver. The menu for both of these events looks just fantastic.
Yeah, okay, so people can have a dinner, meet you, and taste a bunch of your wines at these dinners. It's so nice to see these coming back, since the pandemic. I think it's great for people to get immersed and, of course, to meet you and hear more about it. You got to be excited about that.
Oh, yeah, I really enjoy it. It's one of the nice excuses for me to actually get out of the winery and be with our customers and enjoy the wines that are really meant to be enjoyed. Yeah. The tickets for both are available from the venues themselves, the Qualicum Beach Cafe and Water Street Cafe, and through their online system.
Yeah, right on. That sounds great. That's a nice kickoff to the season. Back to the Similkameen. Let's just wrap up a little bit, because you have done so much work in the vineyard. You're focused on growing organically. Tell us a bit how that's going. Like, are you it's been a while now. Are you happy with the way the vineyards look and with the progress of the grapes and the quality by the way that you're growing them?
Yeah, absolutely. We really push ourselves to do better and better every year, both in the vineyard and in the cellar. And as you know very well, the grapes themselves and how you grow them is fundamental to everything in wine. If you don't have high-quality grapes that speak of the place that they come from, then you can't somehow put that into the wine after the fact. So we put all of our energy and all of our attention into how we grow the grapes. The organic practices that you mentioned are really fundamental to that. It's better for the planet and better for our people, but it also leads to healthy soils, and I think we make wines that are more expressive because of those healthy soils.
Yeah. Well, Michael, I think you should take a bow. Clos du Soleil has been a big leader in that. Of course, you're in a valley that is a leader in organics. And for people who don't know the Similkameen, I can't recommend it enough as a place to drop by and spend a couple of days and check out what's going on in the Similkameen and check out the river. People drive by it, but they never get out of their car and walk down to the river and stick their foot in the water and enjoy themselves in the sunshine there. It's just a wonderful place to spend time. Michael, thanks for joining us today. Real pleasure, as always. Clos du Soleil, one of the jewels of the Similkameen and, I would say, the British Columbia wine scene. Let's catch up soon and have a glass of wine.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. That's it for this week's show, folks. Special thanks to our technical producer here in Vancouver, Darren Regan, back for a special encore show. Assignment editor Sherry Caleb and director of operations Stu Ferguson. For all of us at the show, I'm Anthony Gismondi, wishing you the best in the days ahead, and we'll catch up with you next week across the BC Food and Wine Radio Network.
That's it for today's show. This is BC Food and Wine Radio with Anthony Gismondi.